So welcome everyone to this wonderful Feldenkrais lesson. It's a beautiful lesson that affords us an opportunity to see the relationship of our spine to our arms, our gestures, and our emotions. So we're not going to impose ideas. We're going to see what it says to us as we go along. And so take a moment in lying on your backs to notice your contact with the floor. How do you show up today? And you're going to take just a small tour of your spine. If you started at the tailbone, the bottom of your tailbone, and imagine that there's some kind of little magic fingers that could walk along your spine as if your spine was a ladder, each vertebra was a rung. Could you just take a little walk right now from the bottom, noticing when these fingers are sort of right against the floor and when there's more space as it travels upward? Noticing for yourself where maybe is it difficult to access or sense the existence of the fingers or the spine, where I just kind of disappear or it disappears, and then when it comes back to clarity. And I do this without judgment, but just sensing, because each one of us has a unique organization to the spine. Sometimes it travels a little bit sideways or deep inside, and we're just noticing right now. And then from your spine, could you turn your attention to the width or the breadth, however you want to look at it? You know, breath is such a wonderful word because we think of breath as an action, B-R-E-A-T-H, but also breath as a state of size, like the width of something, the breadth of your torso, the breadth of your shoulder girdle, and then how your arms are lying on the floor right now. And our arms are an extension of our torso and our ribs. So even now as you're lying here, you've either made a choice to have your arms down so that the palms are facing the floor, or your arms up, or maybe one is down and one is up, or you're on the sides. And then extend your arms horizontally out so that they're at a 90-degree angle. And take a moment to just check. We have a tendency sometimes, again, going back to this idea of our self-image, of thinking that our arms are at a 90-degree angle, but they're actually higher or lower. So just noticing where your arms are. And just put your hands into a light fist. And with your hands in a light fist, could you just start a simple movement of turning your arms over? So the whole arm turns over so that your fingers, your knuckles touch the floor, and then you turn your arms the other way so the back of your hand and your back of your knuckles touch the floor. And just feeling the rotation in your entire arm and just noticing, does your entire arm turn or are you just turning from the elbow? So just noticing, can you turn your arms further so that the thumb can find the floor in each direction? And if it can't, that's okay. And just noticing as you're doing this movement, what keeps you from going further? noticing your breath as you do it. And then just play for a moment, taking it as far as it will go, easily and comfortably, without strain. And notice, do your elbows get into the act? Do they lift? What do you feel in your shoulder blades? And what do you feel in the front of yourself as you're doing this? Do your shoulders participate in any way? What's happened to your breathing? And then let that all go. Let your arms come down by your side and take a rest. So we're going to look at this movement, its relationship to my trunk and to my expression. So bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. And we're going to just explore what Feldenkrais would call an auxiliary movement. In other words, instead of just doing the same thing over and over again, is there something that I can do to inform a particular function? In this case, the ability to be able to turn my arms in this way, by using other parts of myself. So just begin a movement that you're all familiar with, which is pressing your feet into the floor, lifting your pelvis and your back up in the air and bringing it back down again. So if we imagine that chain link by link, or if we imagine a string of pearls where we're lifting it up pearl by pearl, how do you lift? How do you lower? And as you're doing this movement, could you begin to pay attention and notice, do you feel like your feet are pressing evenly? Please don't fix it, but just notice whether you have one foot that feels like it's more solid, maybe more present, and maybe not. You might feel like you're perfectly even, which is fine. One way to notice whether you might have a dominant foot is to notice if in the very moment of initiating that one corner of one hip begins before the other. Don't try to force it to be even. Just really listen right now and just notice, how do you begin this movement? And then as you're coming down, just noticing which foot feels more supportive as you're coming down. It's a subtle distinction, but it's very important, especially for anyone who has ever felt that they're slightly asymmetrical in the sense that we dip down on one side or one hip is lifting more, or I don't feel as supported on one leg. Doing this kind of movement can be very, very helpful. And then let it go. Slide your legs down. Take a break for a moment. And now think to yourself as you're lying there, whether or not you were able to identify a dominant or preferred or more supported leg. And when we resume the movement, you're going to be working with that leg. If there's anyone that feels that, oh no, it felt perfectly even, then you can just choose a leg. It doesn't really matter that much, although it's really, really interesting to start with what I perceive to be my dominant leg in this orientation. And I want to stress that it might not feel that way when you're walking or standing. When we're horizontal, something different is happening. So bend your legs, bring your feet to standing. So now using the leg that felt like it was more supportive or stronger and trying not to use the other leg at all, it's just there for balance. Could you once again resume lifting your pelvis and your back and lowering it back down? And so you don't have to lift the other foot up in the air. It can be touching the floor, but you're just trying not to engage it. Your dominant foot is the one you're using. Your dominant foot is the one you're using. The other one is going to want to jump in. It's going to want to support you. And, you know, you'll recognize that and you'll feel that. And by the way, you will not necessarily go straight up now. Since you're only using one leg, that is definitely the hip that's going to go up first. So you're going up and you're going down. And notice whichever leg you've lifted, which shoulder blade feels a change in the pressure to get heavier or to get lighter. Don't hold yourself up in the air. Just raise and lower. And again, you don't have to lift your other foot off the floor unless you really feel like, wow, I cannot do it without cheating at all. And then pause a second and just let yourself be there with your 2 feet on the floor. And now try a few times with your other foot. And just notice, is it different? Do you feel as supported on this side? What's different about it? Does it feel wobbly or tentative? Or maybe you're perfectly symmetrical and it feels fabulous, and that's fine too, right? We all have different organizations. But even if it feels very much the same as the other one as you begin, maybe your trajectory is a little bit different. Maybe the way you breathe is a little bit different. Notice your attitude as you do this. And then pause again. And now, could you begin doing the movement where you use your preferred leg once and then come down and then use your non-preferred leg? So you're alternating these two legs, these two trajectories, and paying attention to the differences. And when I say paying attention to the differences, I'm not saying, oh, yes, this is good, this is bad, going into judgment. But instead, I'm noticing, oh, When I press with my right foot, I get a cramp in my left foot. Or when I press with my left foot, my right ribs don't want to bend. So I begin to explore this relationship of these two sides. It's almost like a game. If I was, again, a little baby in a crib trying to discover what is my body about, this would be a process. How do I do this? And then let the whole thing go. Slide your legs down and rest a moment. And just notice that this process of exploring all by itself has done something to your breath, how your pelvis relates to the floor. So now bend your legs again and bring your feet to standing. And you're going to resume this process of doing one leg and then the other leg. But this time, begin with just, say, the right leg and then begin with the left leg. But as you continue doing this movement, could you begin to actually diminish the difference between your two legs? In other words, as you use your right leg, add a little bit of left leg in. And as you use your left leg, add a little bit of right leg so that each time you raise, you're coming more and more towards the center. So you're raising your pelvis and you're lowering your pelvis, but now you're beginning to integrate to feel how this other leg can participate so that gradually as you do this, you're going to find yourself using both of your legs and going straight up the middle. And once you come to that place where you feel like, okay, I'm going straight up the middle, all the way up to the shoulder girdle, notice your breathing, notice your comfort level, and then let the whole thing go and rest. So I'll know you're all done when you actually are resting. And now go back to extending your arms horizontally at a 90-degree angle to yourself, putting your hands into fists, placing both of your feet standing. Now we're going to start to make sense of what we just did. And do you remember the movement of turning your arms over? So just to review, you're going to turn your arms over, but this time only in one direction. And that direction is turning it so that your fingers come upward and the backs of your hands come to the floor. So turning your hands, just to make sure that everyone knows that you're, you know, again, your hands are in very gentle fists and you're turning your hands and then returning them back to where they were. And now we're going to combine that with the lifting of the pelvis. So as you lift your pelvis, let your arms turn in that upward direction. And then as you lower your pelvis, let your arms return to their comfortable position. Yes, your feet are standing. And just notice what's happening in your shoulder girdle as you're doing it with the assistance of your pelvis and your spine. And is it possible that your arms could roll a little bit further? Notice your breathing, and can you let this happen on an exhale? Can you feel that sense of that spinal chain as you're going up and how the movement of your spine supports freedom in the shoulder girdle? And now just pause a second the next time that your pelvis comes down to the floor. So we're going to play with seeing if we can improve it even more. So could you just begin by just rolling your arms upward and then adding the lift of your pelvis and seeing can your arms roll even further when you do that, and then see if once you're up there you can leave your arms where they are, lower your pelvis, and then lower your arms. I'm going to repeat that because it's kind of like doing a little combination. So as you first roll your arms, then add your pelvis, and see if your arms can roll further. And then lower your pelvis and see if your arms can stay where they are. If they can't, don't worry. You can always let them go. And then release your arms. Just playing with that movement a couple times. So it's kind of like, you know, so many times because of my own background, I think of Feldenkrais as like a horizontal dance. So you could call this kind of like a dance combination. You know, arms, body, then body and arms, right? Of course, your arms are part of your body, but you know what I'm talking about. And notice your breathing and notice if you're straining, if it feels like work. And notice if you've become so interested in this movement that you forgot about your feet and how they relate to the floor, right? So how can I include all of myself as I'm doing the movement? And then let it all go and rest. And just noticing your contact of your shoulder girdle, the breath of you, both breaths, the width and the breathing process. And now bend your legs, bring your feet so that they're standing. Bring your arms horizontally out to the side again, hands in that soft fist. And could you begin turning your arms the other way, downward, and returning several times? Just noticing what you're feeling in the front of your sternum area, your upper chest. And also what you're feeling between your shoulder blades behind you. So if we were playing with as you were rolling your arms upward, raising the lower part of your spine, as we're rolling the arms downward, how can we include the upper part of the spine? So could you continue rolling your arms downward, but as you do it, could you find a way to raise your head up as if you wanted to look in between your legs so that your head and your shoulders come up as you're rolling your arms forward? So as you're rolling your arms forward, you're raising your head. Notice whether an exhale helps. And also notice for yourself, as you're doing this, does your head feel heavy or light? Right, your head can weigh up to 15 pounds. Most of us are somewhere between 12 and 14 pounds. How are you lifting that big ball? And just pause a second. We're going to see if we can lose some weight here. Interlace your fingers and place them underneath the back of your head. I think everyone here has done variations of this particular movement, but now we're going to integrate it a little bit. So your elbows are close to your face. And as you exhale, could you begin raising your head using your arms to support your head and neck? And then lowering it back down. Several times, just doing this movement, but I want to direct your attention specifically to the back of yourself. As you're lifting your upper part of your spine, as you're lifting your head, what gets heavier? Can you sense that there's a part of your lower rib cage, or maybe down even in the lumbar area, that wants to press into the floor a little bit? Maybe you feel something in your pelvis, some part of you that gets heavier as you raise your head. So once you've identified your spot that presses into the floor, could you try an experiment and see if just as you're about to lift your head, you intentionally press that area into the floor. So as you begin the exhale, you press that area into the floor, you begin to use the power of your center as a fulcrum. Great. And pause a moment. And take your arms out and bring them back to the horizontal position with your hands and fists. And now could you play for a moment with, as you roll your arms downward and you go to lift your head up, could you first intentionally press that part of yourself into the floor? It could be that you're thinking that your ribs press downward or that your abdomen sinks downward, whatever the image is. So you're pressing part of yourself in your torso into the floor and allowing your head to come up. And you'll find that your rib cage softens downward. Notice if you're using extra tension anywhere and let go of that. Has anybody's head gotten lighter? Lighter heads, fantastic. So everybody take a rest. So because the head is such an important part of how we use ourselves in our vertical organization, how we relate to different parts of our spine, there are other ways that we can include a movement of the head along with this particular use of the arms. So we're going to explore another one. And so bend your legs, bring your feet to standing. You're going to still have your arms out to the side in fists and rolling downward. But this time, instead of picking up your head, you're going to let your head slide as if you wanted to put the top of your head on the floor, as if you wanted to look at the wall behind you as you're rolling your arms. So you roll your arms and let your head. So if you have too many pillows under your head, it could be challenging. You might want to play with making sure that you have mobility available to you. So as you're rolling your arms downward, you're sliding your head so that your chin moves away from your chest. You're not rolling your head. You're sliding your head. You're not picking up your pelvis. Your pelvis stays on the floor. It's just a movement of the head. But it's really interesting as I incorporate this movement in my head, all the different things that the rest of my system wants to do to go with it. It's very good to observe it. And as you're doing this movement, could you ask yourself the question, which way should my chest go? Would the chest go with your head and your neck, reaching towards the ceiling? Or would your chest sink downward, going with your shoulders and your arms? So play a moment and see, do you have the choice, right? It's all about choice. What would happen if you had a big exhale as you did this movement so that your chest softens downward towards the floor into flexion? And what would happen if you inhale and allow the chest to expand as your head goes backwards? So there's no wrong or right. I see where my preference is. I see what I like to do, but I also see that there are possibilities. And pause a second. And now, could you alternate these two head experiences? So one time you roll your arms downward and you'll pick up your head as if you wanted to look between your legs and then come down. And then the next time you roll your arms downward, you'll slide your head and just feel, are these two different kinds of experiences for your spine or are they the same? What happens in your lower back as you do this? Notice if you're trying to combine things. And if it's too much for you to lift your head, remember how to place your pelvis or your lower back into the floor before you lift. So you're rolling your arms down once and picking up your head, and then rolling your arms down once and sliding your head. And notice which way your chest, when your head goes backward, your arms are still rolling down. Your arms are still rolling downward as the head slides back. And just sense for yourself, which is your preference? Which one feels more like work? Which one feels like surrender? And let it all go. Slide your legs down. Take a rest. Noticing your contact with the floor. And now we're going to put some pieces together. So bend your legs. Bring your arms horizontally out to the side again. Let your hands be in soft fists. And so now we're going to do both directions, but not at the same time. So as your arms roll upward, you'll raise your pelvis and your back. Then you bring yourself back down. And as your arms roll downward, you have a choice. You can raise your head, or you can slide your head. So play for a moment. So as the pelvis goes up, the arms go up. And as the head moves, the arms go down. And you might want to play and decide for yourself, do I want to use my head, or do I want to raise my head? Or do I want to slide my head? Maybe sometimes you want to do one, sometimes you want to do the other. Just remember, you're only doing one part of your spine at a time. Don't try to lift your pelvis and your head at the same time. That's another lesson. There really is a lesson that does that. Stay in contact with your breathing, noticing, when do you exhale? When do you feel like you've had enough? Remember that we're always looking at how much is enough. Where is my pleasure factor? And then let it all go and rest again. And now we get to experience the part, I always call it the brain part of the lesson, where we get to scramble our brains a little bit. So bend your legs, bring your feet to standing, put your arms horizontally out to the side again. And this time, as your arms go up, you use your head. And as your arms go down, you raise your pelvis. So you're doing the opposite of what you've been doing. It'll feel crazy the first couple times you do it. So as you're rolling your arms down, you raise your pelvis. And as you're rolling your arms up, your head either comes up or it slides. So this would be, it would be hard to believe that we had developed a habit already just by doing this, because these are such novel movements anyway. But now we're interrupting a habit even more and interfering with patterns that live in us. So as the pelvis goes up, the arms roll down. And as the head goes up, the arms roll up. And pause a second. And now go back to the original way. Can you remember the original way? So suddenly the original way is either so easy or impossible, right? And it all depends on how my nervous system. Don't lift your pelvis and your head at the same time. Make sure only one of them is off the ground at the same time. And then pause with that. Leave your knees bent and just roll your arms. Just roll your arms and just notice, what's it like now to roll those arms? Can you remember what it felt like earlier in the lesson? And sometimes we don't remember what we were like before, but that's okay. And then let it all go. Take a rest. Put your arms down by your side. And take a moment to come back to this walking tour of your spine. Starting at the tailbone, if you let your attention go from vertebra to vertebra, try to say that three times fast, from vertebra to vertebra, just notice, are there any new perceptions that you're experiencing as you travel up your spine? What's available to you? So you don't have to move right now. You're just resting. And you're paying attention. And only in your mind's eye are you walking up your spine. So you're not doing anything. And notice, what is the space like between your shoulder blades? How are your arms lying now? And they may be lying in the same expression, but maybe your sense of their contact or the quality is different. And then I'd like to invite everyone to come up to sitting. And if it's not comfortable to sit on the floor, and it's important to be comfortable sitting on the floor, please feel free to take a moment to go to a chair or sit on your couch, or wherever you can sit where you can feel that your spine is relatively straight. So I'll just give everybody a moment to find a way to come to sitting in a comfortable position. If you can sit with your legs crossed, that's fantastic. You're probably not going to feel as good sitting with your legs extended in front of you. So if you can't cross your legs, find a chair or a stool where you can sit and put your feet on the floor, where you can be comfortable. And as we're doing the movement that we're going to explore right now, if you start to feel like, oh, whoa, this is not working for me in this position, please feel free to go to a chair or your couch. So extend your arms horizontally out to the side. And now you don't have to have them in fists anymore. Just let them be relaxed. Your hands are relaxed. And begin trying this same movement, rolling your arms down and up. Just rolling your arms down and up, and feel what that's like for yourself right now. What do you feel in your shoulder blades? Do they participate, or is it just happening in the front of the arms? And now, if you were to include your head and your back, which way would your head go as you roll your arms down and as you roll your arms up? What would your head want to do? And by the way, if it's too much of a strain to hold your arms horizontally out to the side, you can hold them slightly downward. It will not ruin anything. And if you need to rest at any time, and I haven't said rest, take a rest. And everyone take a pause for a moment, right? So when we're in the vertical, we're fighting gravity. It was so nice when we're all lying on the floor, right? Because your arms can do whatever they want. Once we're holding our arms up in the air, fatigue can set in. So please honor that your arms don't have to be totally horizontal all the time. So once again, just extend your arms horizontally out to the side. And notice that it's easier if you, as you roll your arms down, for your head to look down. And can you exhale and let your chest soften? And then as you roll your arms upward, allow your chest to expand and your head to look up. Great. And now could you just let your arms find a place that's not by your side, but it doesn't have to be horizontal, and just allow your arms to continue in that pattern and your head and your torso to continue in that pattern. And just notice, are there any feelings, any images that occur, any memories of a time when maybe you've seen a picture or you've been in a situation? And play, you don't have to exaggerate. You can just let your arms open and notice, is it different when your chest is expanded and your head is up? Is it different when your arms are down and your head is down? And then take a pause, just let it go, rest a moment. And now we're going to do the opposition. As your arms roll upward, could you let your head go down? And as your arms roll downward, let your head go up. Just play with that. And again, your arms can even be relaxed. They can be bent. You can be expanded. Play for a moment. See, where does it feel like it's most informative for you? And the question again, as your arms roll upward and your head goes down, what does your chest want to do? As your arms roll downward and your head goes up, what does your chest and back want to do? Where's your choice of congruence? Letting your chest soften with your head or soften with your arms? Resting whenever you need to, playing with that feeling. And again, are any of these positions, movements, evocative for you? And now come up to standing. And just take a moment in standing, first of all, to just kind of recognize where you are right now, where your head is on your spine, how your feet feel underneath you, right? You've had all of these experiences of working with a dominant foot and a non-dominant foot, working with your arms, your chest. Has that changed how you relate to yourself in the vertical now? And then whatever your comfort level is, if you want to have your arms horizontal, great. If it feels like they need to be at a diagonal, that's fine too. Play again with this idea of letting your arms turn, letting yourself look up, letting your chest expand, and then trying the arms down. And again, you can make it as small or as large as you want, right? When we are in various postures, we often evoke certain feelings based on what is happening to the torso, how the lungs are responding, what's going on in the organs underneath. So as I'm expanding and contracting my rib cage and using my arms in this way, and then just for fun, reverse it. So your head goes down as your arms go up, and your arms go down as your head goes up. And you can, again, play with the level of your arms and with the size of the gesture. And what if it was a gesture? How does it become a gesture? Where is it in you? And then out of all of these possible choices, could you just take a moment, let your arms be down by your side, and just choose for yourself which one of these resonated the most for you? Which one spoke to you? Which one do you want to repeat? And just do that one, just for a moment, just feel it. Which one calls out to you and speaks to you? Great. And then let it go. Let your arms come down by your side and take a walk around. Just take a walk around and just notice as you're walking around whether you feel any echoes of the gesture that you chose, what you feel in your spine, where your head is in relationship to all of this. And that's the end of today's lesson.